moving on. Yes, we are. And Brad Friedman from bradblog.com is with us, and you're going to be able to talk to him tonight as well. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Christine. How are you?
Well, I'm so interested in this. Supreme Court of the United States had a ruling the other day in the case Crawford versus Marion County Election Board. Apparently, they had a big problem with, and I want you to make a really important distinguishment, mm-hmm. that a word, between voter fraud and election fraud, so people realize they're two entirely different things.
They are. Okay.
We'll start with that, and then we'll talk about the ruling.
All right. Voter fraud almost never happens. And when it does, it's very difficult to flip an election. You know, we're talking about voter fraud being dead people voting twice, that sort of thing. When it does happen, it's very difficult to flip an election via voter fraud because you need a whole bunch of people to do it.
But they must have had a lot of this in Indiana, right?
Well, as it turns out, there has never been an instance of in-person impersonation fraud in all of Indiana's history, according to the Supreme Court ruling, which nonetheless upheld this unbelievable case. Now, there have been cases, not a lot of them, but where voter fraud does happen, it tends to happen via vote by mail, via absentee balloting and so forth. It's very rare that it happens in person. It would be really stupid for it to happen in person. Can you imagine, for example, back in Ohio in 2004, people waiting in line for 10 hours to vote and then to go back at the end of the line and do it all over again for another 10 hours.
With a fake ID or whatever.
Right.
But the difference between voter fraud and election fraud is?
Well, election fraud is a very serious concern because it involves insiders who have access, whether it's to the voting machines, to the ballot boxes, you know, to stuff the ballot boxes and so forth. It's about the administration of elections and basically, you know, voting system fraud that can be
like 2000 and 2004.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And so that is a very, very serious concern. Voter fraud, on the other hand, is not a serious concern, really, in the least, unless you happen to be a Republican and you figure out that if you require very, very specific types of photo ID that many people don't happen to have, who happen to be, for example, elderly, minorities, urban, poor, and so forth, if you require, for example, a state-issued driver's license, this assures that a huge swath, some 21 million Americans, may not be able to cast a ballot at all, and that's exactly what they put in place in Indiana, and incredibly, the Supreme Court upheld it, which means we are probably going to see laws like this now all over the country. And make no mistake, this is not about voter fraud. This is about voter suppression, plain and simple.
Well, I agree. But, you know, right now people listening to this are like, there's that crazy crap woman again. She said, how difficult could it be to get a picture ID? Don't answer the question, because when I ask you to fully elaborate on this, I think people's minds are going to be blown when they realize how difficult it just might be for people, for some people at least, and the mm-hmm. kinds of votes they want to suppress, to get a picture ID, because Brad's got all the dope, so to speak, on, well, how to cast a ballot in Indiana if you don't currently have a state-issued ID. It may blow your mind. I certainly hope it does. You're listening to KGO. I'm Christine Kraft. I'm Christine Kraft and Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, a frequent guest on programs I do, is with us. Thank you so much for joining us, Brad. Okay, let's get to the nitty-gritty, baby. The Supreme Court said, it's no big whoop. It's not. Indiana can demand that voters have to have this picture ID. How hard can that be? Then I started looking at these things, and I also read the dissenting opinion by Justice Souter. And Justices Souter and Breyer,
mm-hmm.
And the first thing you mentioned, they've never had any one specific case of, voter fraud in Indiana here. But tell what someone has to do, how to cast a ballot in Indiana if you don't currently have a state-issued ID. How hard can that be?
Oh, yeah, well, not hard at all. Now, mind you, there's 43,000 people who don't have such ID as of now.
Okay.
Those people who do have it, they'll have to remember to bring it or they're screwed when they go to vote on election day. That said, in Indiana, they estimate, the state admits, at least 43,000 voters don't have it, 21 million around the country. Now, also, military ID will not work. So,
wait a minute. You've got a military ID. It's got a picture on it. You can't use that.
That's correct. So if you happen to be stationed in Indiana, at a military base in Indiana, but you don't have a driver's license in Indiana, you have it in your home state, wherever that may be, you're out of luck too. So,
and the state of Indiana will say to you, sorry, that's no good, bye-bye.
Yeah, apparently they hate the troops. Now,
okay.
so what to do if you want to cast a ballot in Indiana and you don't have a state-issued photo ID?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, you have to find either a birth certificate or a passport to get to the BMV, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, in order to get one. Now, it'll cost you at least $12.
Once you get there.
Once you get there, if you can get there, mind you, you don't have a driver's license, so it's likely you don't have a car and can't drive.
You might be an elderly person or a person who's not economically, in other words, you're using every penny to survive, and
And so you have to figure out how to get there. Now, there's a whole lot fewer
There's one on every corner in Indiana.
Well, no, but there is a lot of polling places, but not BMVs. So you got to figure out how to get there, and then once you get there, it's going to cost you $12 to get a copy of your birth certificate.
Everybody has that. Don't you have your birth certificate?
Well, I don't have mine.
Aha!
That said,
are you who you say you are, Friedman?
Well, you know,
prove
what?
It.
To get that birth certificate, we later found out a commenter jumped in to say that to get that birth certificate, guess what you need?
You need, what do you need?
You need, in addition to $12, you need a photo ID.
Oh, my God. There's more. And, folks, if you want to talk to Brad Friedman about this decision that of having this, you know, a picture ID, how hard can that be? You just call in, and he will take your calls. 800-810-810 is the phone number. You're listening to KGO. Chris Brecher has got the news for us in the KGO newsroom. Chris. It's Brad Friedman on my program, Christine Kraft, with you until 1 a.m. Brad Friedman is my guest, and we're talking about the Supreme Court ruling. And this, in just this case the other day, the Crawford case, the Supreme Court said, this Indiana law that requires you to have an ID card with your picture on it is perfectly okay. Indiana can do that. It's not going to put anybody into any trouble to do this. And we're finding out that there's more to it than meets the eye. Brad, so if you don't have a birth certificate, say you don't drive, and there are 43,000 people who don't currently have a driver's license or a photo ID that would work to be able to vote.
In Indiana, by mm-hmm. the admission of the state, who was the defendant in the case, who was trying to keep this law going. So it's likely to be more than 43,000, but yeah. Lots of folks, and as I said, nationally, where the Republicans are trying to spread this law, it's some 21 million, according to the most recent Census Bureau data of folks who don't.
And these would be citizens. They're not here illegally. They would ever have every right to vote, constitutionally protected a voter franchise, but they just don't happen to have a driver's license, which is what Indiana wants. Or they may not still have their birth certificate. I would ask everybody listening right now, do you know where your birth certificate is? I bet you there are lots of people out there who say yes, and a lot of people who say absolutely not. It costs $12. First, you have to go to the place and get the birth certificate. But you could get a passport, though. How difficult could that be, huh, for a poor person?
Well, that would cost you about $100.
You have to get the photo, which would cost you extra, and then you'd have to get to the place to get the photo. And if you're perhaps elderly or perhaps a person who doesn't have resources, I mean, the economy is so great right now. I mean, we're not in a near depression or anything, so I'm sure everybody has, you know, a disposable $100 or $150 to get a passport, right?
Now, it takes to get your birth certificate, as you mentioned before the break, you have to have a photo ID. So I'm not sure on the rules for the passport, but if I'm recalling correctly, to get the passport, you may have to have a birth certificate. So it's mind-boggling.
And you have to do it every 4 years?
And then you have to do it every 4 years because the state-issued ID that you are given for free, they like to point out, in Indiana. So it's really
free.
Not a burden because it's free. You have to do that every 4 years. So if, for example, you have voted at the very same precinct for the last 50 years, but, you know, you're 80 years old, drive, you don't have a driver's license, you have to go get one, a state-issued ID now, and then to vote in the presidential election 4 years from now, you'll have to go through all of these steps again, but this is the easy part.
But you'll be 84 then.
That's right. But this is the easy part, Christine. It actually gets harder. If you manage to get through all of these hurdles and get one of these free and very easy to get state-issued IDs, you then have to get to the polling place to vote. You have to remember to bring that ID with you, and everything's fine. But if you're unable to do any of those steps, or as I say, let's say you're in the military and you think walking in uniform and having your military ID is going to be enough, You're wrong.
You can't vote. They'll let you fill out a provisional ballot, though,
won't
they?
They'll let you fill out a provisional ballot, which you'll have to sign an affidavit swearing that you are who you say you are.
Right.
Which is, that's done really around the country with provisional ballots. That's fine. But they then have to make sure that signature matches your registration, which is also fine. But Indiana has added another step. In the next 10 days after the election, you then have to get yourself to the county seat, wherever that may be, to get to the courthouse, to get to the county courthouse.
Well, the 84-year-old could just hitchhike, right?
Easy, right? In November, by the way. So make sure the rubber on the bottom of your walker is in good shape.
Oh, my God. We're going to take calls. You'll stay with us to take some calls?
I would love to.
Good. All right. You're listening to KGO. I'm Christine Kraft. And you want to check out bradblog.com. We're talking to Brad Friedman. It's his blog, and it's got all the latest, greatest stuff, certainly about elections. It is the premier place to go. And before we get to calls, just very quickly, I'm looking at the decision. Scalia said the Burnett issue is minimal. May I suggest, Brad, that they're all the judges, the justices who voted this way and said the Burnett issue is minimal, they're all going to be reborn in the next life as a poor elderly person with a walker who really wants to vote.
Yeah, or they may well become an elderly person with a walker, may institute this law wherever they live. I hope the hell they're out of luck, frankly.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
We hate to be mean-spirited, but what the heck. Let's go to Eddie in Oakland. Hi, Eddie. You're on KGO.
Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to have confidence in adults, but that's dwindling every day. It's common sense. How are we going to protect the election process if we don't know who's here legally voting? And I believe if you're born with a sound mind and body, if it takes little work to get ID, what is wrong with that?
Good question. Well, for a start, a lot of people may have been born with a sound mind and body but don't have one now, and they should not be denied their constitutional right to vote simply because
their body is a little worn out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, secondly, there is already requirements by federal law to provide ID when you register to vote. The Help America Vote Act of 2002 requires that if you're not registered today and you go out and register, let's say at some registration drive, since it's your first time voting, if you didn't give a photo ID when you registered, you will have to provide one at the polling place. That is already the federal law.
Okay, let's move on to another questioner. Let's talk to Glenn in San Jose. Hi, Glenn. You're on KGO with Brad Friedman.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was just kind of along the same lines as Eddie. I mean, these people have 7 months to figure this out. You know, it's the vote. The election is until November. It's April. That's 7 months to come up with your $12 and figure out a plan. Ask your daughters or sons to drive you to the BMV or wherever it is to make the trip.
You want to send them the $12?
Do I want to send them the $12?
Yeah.
I'll send one person $12 if that's what it takes.
Well, that's good, because 42 years ago, the Supreme Court turned down what was called a poll tax of $1.50 because it disenfranchised people who might not have had the $1.50. Now, they unanimously turned that down, but this one is okay. Mind you, they don't have 7 months. They have 2 weeks, because Indiana has its primary 2 weeks from now. Furthermore, rights are not constitutional rights don't just count for most people who can get it. They count for everyone. So if anyone is denied their constitutional right to vote because of this, that's a problem, unless you, sir, don't care about the Constitution.
No. Okay, I care about the Constitution, but I don't see where why wasn't this brought up when the state of California made it a law for everyone to have a photo ID in their possession at all times? I didn't hear anyone screaming about the money it was costing to get those, for those people to go and get the IDs that were required by the state of California.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure about that law. I don't know that there is one. If there is, that's fine. If you don't have that law, however, if you don't have that ID, you are not denied your right to
vote.
That's
right. And this is a case or controversy stemming out of Indiana. So that's...
I know, but you're talking about the worry about spreading it out to all the states.
Sure. We worry about it here, sir, because you get one chance to vote, one day to vote. Now, for example...
The primary is not an election.
I'm sorry?
The election is in November, so they have 7 months.
Okay, but I mean, you didn't vote in the California primary?
Actually, no, I didn't. I was in the hospital.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, but you would have voted had you been out of the hospital, right?
Yeah.
Sure. And so that's part of the voting franchise. It's not a franchise that's qualified to say only in the general election. It's every election you want to vote in.
Well,
that's what it is.
I understand that. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate they did it 2 weeks before the primary. I agree with that.
And, you know,
but
I
don't think that it's a stretch to ask these people to get an ID.
And if there happens to be a, let's say, a wildfire in California, and you lose all of your possessions and so forth, you lose your ID, do you think you should then be not allowed to vote in the next election?
No, I don't.
Okay.
All right.
There you go.
I'll concede with you on that.
Okay. And I'm just saying,
part.
And I appreciate it. It's a real quick take on this because people think, well, what could be so damn difficult to get about getting a driver's license or a photo ID, a free one, by God? What's so difficult? And these people need to step back and to imagine the hypotheticals, imagine the scenarios, imagine that you're not young and vigorous and have the car and the money to buy the gas and the money to pay for the birth certificate and you already have a driver's license. As you mentioned, there are 43,000 people in Indiana who don't have the proper ID with which to vote, who are certainly valid citizens. They have every right to, every constitutional right to, and a whole host of difficulties, whether they're poor, maybe it's a person of color who lives in a neighborhood where the bus service never goes past that bureau and they don't have the... People are living hand to mouth right now. They don't have extra money to pay for a passport. I mean, they just don't have it.
And what was that? You remember what that caller's name was?
No. I forget so quickly.
Okay. I'm going to, well, let's say Eddie, because he was the caller.
I think it was Ed. Yeah, anyway.
Here's the thing. If there is no problem in the history of the nation with people named Eddie committing voter fraud, how would Eddie feel if the California legislature instituted a law that anybody named Eddie cannot vote unless they have a photo ID? Only people named Eddie.
And I would suggest, it's a great question, and I would suggest that everybody who wants to read more about this, because you've got more on it, including the decision in a PDF file. If you want to read the entire decision, there are two dissenting justices here, Breyer and Souter. And read the whole thing. You are listening to KGO.
KGO News Talk 810.
Oh, people are so upset, Brad. They can't believe that we're saying that there might be something that's an undue burden on people. How hard could it be to get a picture ID? And let me just say, go to bradblog.com and read. And you can also, because somebody said, you're just a goofball and your guest is a goofball. I challenge that person right now. Who is that? Who is the person who called me a goofball? That never has happened before. We have Martin. Martin says, you're a goofball and your guest is a goofball. Martin, I want you to actually go to bradblog.com and guess what, Martin? See if you can do this, you goofball. Download the opinion, okay? And read what Scalia wrote and Stevens wrote and read what Souter wrote and read what Breyer wrote. And then email us back, okay, if you think we're such goofballs. How's that?
So Martin can call in. I'd love to talk.
Yeah, Martin, call in if you think it's so goofy. Give us a call. We'll take your call. Let's go now to Gene. Hi, Gene. You're on KGO.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening, Gene.
Okay, I think, you know, voting is a two-step process, correct? First part is to register. Now,
yes.
Now, do they need a photo ID to register? Because you could get registration forms at libraries, fire stations, and people walk around to register you. And the only thing you have to do is put that in the mail.
Right.
That's right. And there are some differences from state to state.
Well, that's what I'm questioning, you know, this. What is that process for registering in the state of Indiana? Because if you register, then you could fill out a permanent vote by mail, and so you're not burdened with any kind of photo ID. So what is my question then is, what's the process in Indiana?
You can't get permanent vote by mail absentee in Indiana. You can only vote absentee if you give an excuse each time you do it, or if you happen to be living in an assisted
nursing
living
home. Right, and that's in the opinion. You can read the entire opinion. Just go to bradblog.com. There's a link to the entire opinion.
So what you're telling me, they address the whole vote by mail issue in the opinion.
They also point out that vote by mail is not counted in the same way as voting at the precinct. It's weighted differently. So it's one thing if you choose to vote absentee because you can't be there or you prefer to do that, but there is no guarantee that your vote will actually count if you vote by mail.
That's right.
Well, I thought federal legislation allows for voting, the Voting Rights Act allows for voting by mail.
I don't think it's different in each state, but we do not have national no-fault absentee voting. So it's a state-by-state issue. You can sign up to be a permanent absentee voter in California, but not in many states. In many states, you have to, every single election, go in and request an absentee ballot.
Now listen to this. This is from Gregory. It's an email. He says, I cash a check, enter a government building, pick up a prescription, take a flight, visit my doctor, use my credit card, blah, 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 buy cigarettes or a lottery ticket. What? Everything, I don't think you need to have a photo ID to buy a lottery ticket or buy cigarettes, but anyway, says none of these burdens seem to matter to you, but now that they've added another one, voting, what about old people trying to cash their pension checks and being asked for ID? Where's the Brad for that outrage? Arguments are so weak, so damn weak.
Sure, I'll be happy to answer that. First off, unfortunately, I'm a smoker, and I'm never asked for photo ID when I buy my cigarettes. That said,
you look so young.
If I happen to be for example, if I had a photo ID, a military ID, or a driver's license from out of state because I just moved here, that would be sufficient for all of the things that he just mentioned, which, by the way, don't actually require photo ID. You don't have to have a photo ID to get onto a plane. It's going to make your life a lot more difficult, but you can get on that plane. So that's a phony argument, despite the fact that it has been used by proponents of this bill.
You don't have constitutional right necessarily to get on a plane. You do have
one
to vote.
That's right. Now, I don't know that our founding fathers had photography in mind when they wrote the 14th Amendment and that, equal protection on these sorts of laws. But that's what we've gotten here. As far as the outrage, I think you already answered that about the outrage of those.
Oh, here's another one. This is from Nick. He says, what, you know what, again, did you forget the 1960 election, Chicago and Texas and many other places?
Yeah.
Damn rats succeeded, I think he means Democrats, succeeded in stealing elections and will try again.
Right.
I guess he hasn't heard about election fraud and Diebold and Estes and Sequoia. He doesn't have a clue. Hey, a clue here to you, Nick. George Bush didn't win in 2000 and probably didn't win in 2004.
Well,
your guest is fully full of, there's that degree again, and I don't mean a BA, and you are full of it also. And then he says, how many black churches get together and someone fills out absentee ballots for a lot of members and for Democrats, too? There's so much fraud out there, and you and your guest
you
know it. What do you think, huh?
Well,
and he says the decision was 7-2.
It was actually 6-3, but let me add that the fact is that what he talked about in Chicago, those were not stuffed by at the polling place. Those were stuffed by the machine. That was election fraud. That was not voter fraud. Furthermore, his belief that there are these, of course, it's the black churches where they're all filling out the absentee ballots.
I got news for you, honey.
Absentee ballot fraud is a problem. However, this law does not address absentee ballot. You don't need a photo ID to cast an absentee ballot. So
we will say to Nick and to everybody else, and there's Julie and all the kinds of folks that didn't get to get on because we have run out, of course, up against the clock and out of time. But Brad Freeman, I always love to have you on. And let me say to people once again, if you want to really get informed on this instead of just getting angry and think that your common sense tells you it's a great decision, you might want to actually read the decision. You might want to read all of the good work that Brad has done in actually discovering how one casts a ballot in Indiana if you don't have a state-issued photo ID, who this will basically impact, what population will not be able to have their votes counted. And some of you Obama fans might be upset by that, as well as Clinton fans, whatever. Check it out. It's bradblog.com. Always fascinating, Brad. Thank you,
Christine.
You're most welcome.
In 5 years of the Bush DOJ trying to find voter fraud, they found 21 instances in the entire nation.
It's an epidemic, I'm telling you.
Isn't
election fraud, let's don't talk about that, okay? Let's we'll put that aside for another time. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Okay, folks. And also, if you go to bradblog.com, you can download the decision in PDF format and read the whole thing. KGO San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, it's 11 p.m.